Let's give you a little taste of a guy that in one of the years was the first guy coming back to Manchester United to score over 20 goals since George Best did in 1967 and 68. Brian McClair was the first signing for Sir Alex Ferguson. Here's my conversation with him earlier today. Brian, thank you very much, number one, for coming to Houston, and number two, for doing this interview.
Well, hopefully both the interview and the event goes very well. I'm very pleased with the accolade you've afforded me there. I hope I don't let anyone down.
I don't think you're going to. But what I want to do here is really talk a lot about your career and influences in life. So let's start with your growing up in Scotland as a youth player. Kind of take us through what it was like growing up in such a soccer-rich country, and then kind of get into some of your influences as a youth.
Well, I mean, my earliest memories were outside, kicking a ball about against the wall. I suppose you always look at your environment when you cast your mind back to where you end up as I did as a professional sportsman in soccer. And a lot of it is down to just what there is to do. Now, where I lived originally, it was in just at the edge of the town, so there was no other kids around, and I was just sent outside to play because it was safe. And there was the ball. I can't remember who was the person who brought me the ball. Then what became my best friend for a long time was a wall. And I just kicked the ball against the wall literally all day long, really.
Brian McClair joining us. By the way, go to Facebook Soccer Matters. The event information is at the very top of the page. All right, so, you know, you ultimately get yourself to Celtic, very identifiable. We have Celtic supporters groups here in Houston. What was it like to sign a first contract for Celtic?
Oh, it was, I'd had a bit of a very good couple of months just before that at Motherwell, where I was a part-time player because I was studying at university full-time. And I'd had a really good January, scoring a few goals against then not only Glasgow Celtic but Glasgow Rangers. It probably gave me some kind of profile at that particular time. And it was really a surprise, actually, because I had been in Mexico in 1983 for the Under-19 World Cup with Scotland. And when we got back, I got a phone call from the Motherwell manager at the time, who was called Jock Wallace. And in his indomitable fashion, he told me that he'd sold me and that I had to come and see him right away at Fir Park in Motherwell, I went over and he said, "You have to go. Billy McNeil is waiting for you at Celtic Park. Get yourself in there and make sure you sign." So I kind of was left with very little option, really, but Celtic was the club that... because of the Lisbon Lions, I had seen a highlight package of the 1967 European Cup win when I was at primary school and I was about five or six, and that was the thing that made me fall in love with the game. So I wasn't going to turn that opportunity down. I felt at the time that they'd offered me a four-year contract, that I could always go back to university because the likelihood would be, Alice, is that my body would decay quicker than my brain. But I've never managed to get back to university yet.
Well, based on looking at your career and everybody knowing about your career, I think you made a pretty good career choice, I would think, Brian. When at Celtic, was there any specific person that really influenced you a lot there before we begin to talk Manchester United?
Well, I was again in a great position where I had some really good experienced professionals at all the clubs that I'd been at. Aston Villa for years as an apprentice, so not played in any first team games for them. I had some really good professionals who would give me some good advice at Motherwell, and also gave me a kick in the backside when I needed it. And that was the same when I was at Celtic. Particularly Danny McGrain, who was the captain of Celtic and was a tremendous football player and a very very good man. And then I had Tommy Burns, who was a real character and full of joy and love for not only Celtic Football Club but for football in general. And his infectious nature was a huge influence on me in that period of time.
He's Brian McClair. He's going to be our guest speaker here in Houston for the Houston Soccer Community dinner that we're holding. It's annual. It's for pediatric cancer research. It'll benefit 2501C Charities, the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, and the Snowdrop Foundation. So it's going to be a big night. Going to be a lot of people there. You can sign up at Facebook Soccer Matters. Go right there. It's at the top of the page. All the information is there. It's a three-course meal. It's the best $110 you're going to spend, and you're going to hear some amazing stories from Brian. Take my listeners, Brian, into the whole divide, because this is something that's a little bit foreign to people here in the United States, is at that time the divide between Celtic and Rangers and how it kind of bordered on the religious.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the time when I was playing for Celtic, Rangers didn't sign any Catholics. You know, that was their policy, which was something that Jock Steiner, who was a famous manager of Celtic, used very much to his advantage during the 60s and 70s when he was managing Celtic. He was a non-Catholic himself, but he used to tell his scouts that he saw two players and they couldn't quite choose which one, but they were on each side of the divide, then to sign the Protestant, because Rangers wouldn't sign the Catholic and would allow them to take the time to see whether this other player was good enough. But that also changed quite quickly after that. Rangers changed the policy, which was the right thing to do, and also helped him become very successful as a club, winning the 9 titles in a row in the 80s and 90s.
Brian, what's your fondest memory at Celtic?
My fondest memory was the very first day that I walked in as a Celtic player to Celtic Park.
Can you remember it now? I mean, like, are you visualizing it right now?
I remember just arriving at the stadium. Slightly different looking stadium than it is now, but you felt that you know, even though I might have only been there for one day, that you were going to be part of the fabric and history of a wonderful football club. I ended up being there for 4 years and had four great seasons as a player there.
Brian McClair joining us. He will be the guest speaker at the Houston Soccer Community Dinner. Facebook Soccer Matters. You're not going to want to miss this night. Hey, by the way, Brian, in the summers when I was a kid growing up and the New York Cosmos were in full flight, the Celtic would come over and play in tournaments, and then I, as a youth, would play against the Celtic boys because they'd kind of come over as well to a town called Corney that had a very big Scottish influence.
Yeah,
and that's where actually my youth coach came from, Corney, New Jersey, and so I have a lot of great respect for that man coming into my life and for Scotland. So let's move on to Manchester United. You now go to Manchester United. I mean, this is another incredible move. And what's that like when you get to United?
Well, Alex Ferguson sold me a dream. He said to me that his intention was to rebuild a sleeping giant of a football club. And did I want to be part of it? And yes, I very did want to be part of it, although it was a difficult decision to decide to leave Glasgow Celtic to go to Manchester. But it was all down to his persuasive charms.
So season one, you bang in 24 goals for Sir Alex and Manchester United. It's the first time somebody's had over 20 goals since George Best in 67 and 68. That's something magical. I mean, tell me about that first season and all the goals you're scoring and how you scored these goals.
Yeah, well, it was it was great to have that as an achievement. However, the whole idea was, and the whole idea why I wanted to be a football player and a professional football player was to win things. As I mean, to win things as a group, as being part of a team. Although we finished second that year, we were never in contention to threaten Liverpool, who became first division champions that year. But it was great to have done so well. But you could see slowly but surely that how Alex Ferguson was putting his mark and his stamp on the football club. And on the playing, and then the coaching staff. Although it would take a few years before we were successfully win a trophy.
Brian McClair joining us, former Celtic, Manchester United, Scotland. So you've been able, because you have worked for Sir Alex Ferguson on the managerial side as well in player development. You were one of his players. What really stands out about him? I'm reading the book about him, and his management style and how he relates things. You've seen him change through your lens. I mean, what are the things about the man that makes him just so unique and so successful?
Well, I think you just maybe put your finger on the most important thing, that he adapted to change. And he embraced change, whatever way it was, whether that was the formation of the Premier League or the Champions League, the increase in the size of a squad, and not only the playing squad, but also the support staff squad. And he found a way of managing all of those people. I think he was... He was hard, but I think he was fair. And probably, for me, his most consistent and successful characteristic was that he made decisions. He made decisions, and most of them, the huge majority of them, he got correct, whether that was recruiting players or selling players or picking a team to win a particular game. He told me once that he just tried to pick a team that he thought would win the game, not consider any external issues with either with the players or with anyone else or any emotional factors. And he turned out to be pretty good at that.
Yeah, no question at all. By the way, you might not have won the trophy the first year, but you did ultimately win 14 of them and Premier League titles. I mean, this was an amazing time period for you, and how involved in this you were, and how big of a piece you were. You've also played with some amazing players. Can you give us a word on a few of the greats that we all know? Guys like Roy Keane, Mark Hughes, Eric Cantona. Can we get a word on a couple of those guys?
I think that the thing about all of them was that I think that Alex Ferguson signed players that he thought were lucky or that were winners. Now, all of those players had been successful in various guises and went on to become hugely successful in the sense of winning trophies, not only at Manchester United, but other players as well. So I think he was looking for players that were winners, and also he held great store in that he felt he had to be a special, not just a special player with the ability to play soccer, but also to be a very special person who could deal with playing at Old Trafford and everything that surrounded being a Manchester United player, which you represented every minute that you were there, whether you were playing, or you were not playing, or whether you were involved as a Manchester United employee in the soccer side of it. So I think the main part of it would say that he always looked at himself as a winner. He wanted to win. He wanted to win at everything, not just football games. Anything that he did, playing cards, golf, He wanted to win, and win any way he could.
Brian Beclair joining us. Brian, we'll ask you one more before you go, because I'm very interested in this, because, you know, not all footballers do this, but you spent from 2006 to 2015 the director of the Youth Academy at Manchester United. This is remarkable. Talk to me about how that all developed and how your mentality might have had to change once you're a player into the management side of it, and then working and directing and putting programs together for young players that, you know, you're expected to move through to a first team.
Well, the first part of it is you feel very fortunate to be asked, and when you've been asked by Alex Ferguson to take up such position, you know that he's putting his trust and his faith in you. So that gave me a great boost. I had a team that was very good and very successful prior to me becoming a candidate manager, and really they made my management role fairly easy by because we were such a good and tight team that mainly had been put together by Sir Alex Ferguson. So I was just another part of that, and we all worked very well together. We had had Manchester United deep within us. A lot of them had played, a lot of them had been involved in Manchester United for long, long periods of time. They all loved children. They all loved coaching, and all we all wanted to do was to try and help players, young people, become decent adults and hopefully get a career in the game. And when you look at the amount of people that did do that, it's a huge achievement that we never made anyone a player. They all made themselves players, but we think that we created a real good environment, good platform for them to thrive in over the long period of time that some of them were there.
He's former Manchester United, Celtic, Scotland striker, Brian Beclair. Brian, listen, we can't tell you how excited we are to host you down here in Houston. We'll show you some of the sights. We can't wait to hear you at the banquet, and I think you're going to enjoy meeting a lot of great people down here. So, as always, we thank you very much for coming on the program tonight, and we look forward to your arrival in August.
Okay, thank you.